It's good to come to the house of the Lord for worship and reflection today as we celebrate and thank God for the life of Charles Abraham Kahale Huddy. Chuck loved this church, did many things to repair the building and beautify the grounds, and was able to attend the Tuesday Bible study the day before he was hospitalized and eventually transferred to rehab as pandemic restrictions developed last year. So it is only fitting that we gather here today. Come as family and friends, both in person and virtually from around the country. Come as people of faith, trusting in the promise of eternal life. Come now so that together we may celebrate, remember, and worship. Please join with me in prayer, and at the conclusion of that, I invite you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, we pray that we will feel your presence here now. Through your comforting spirit, may we be sustained in hope as we remember with thankful hearts and minds the ways that Chuck touched our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now join in praying the prayer he taught. So we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Chuck had several favorite hymns, and we're going to sing, I believe, was his favorite hymn. Now I invite you to remain seated, and it is printed in the bulletin today, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
afternoon, I will be reading two portions of scripture from the New Testament. The first comes from the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Rome, "I realize how kind God has been to me, and so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone." The second passage comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, and Jesus tells this parable. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. The people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as shepherds separate their sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. And when I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in jail, you visited me.' Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, 'When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?' The king will answer, 'Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me.'" Chuck touched each of us in many different ways, and I have an opportunity to share a lot of reflections today, but you may have something that you would like to share as we celebrate and remember Chuck's life. So I invite those who would like to share a brief remembrance to come to the podium on the floor, and the microphone will be turned on, and I invite you to share a brief reflection if you'd like to.
How's that?
Much better, thank you.
I couldn't let this go without saying something about Chuck, because of course we first met you when, thanks, we first met you all at Oceanwood, but you've been there ever since. And then we went to Hawaii, and all of a sudden I discovered that you were on the same island as we were. In every case, Chuck was a caregiver. He reached out with such consideration. The moment you saw him, he was asking for you, never asking for anything for himself. By his example, he taught his two sons to be kind to everyone. And then there was the day I was delivering coffee break for the work camp folks, and he saw an extra huge bucket of, and he said, "What's in that? Is that something for us?" And I said, "No, that's water for the horse field." And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? And I said, this was in the early days before you, Mike. They didn't have any water up there for the staff to drink. And the water out of the hose was piping hot on these hot days. So he said, oh, what are you going to do with it? And I said, I'm not sure yet because I've got to get it out of my car and put it somewhere. He said, oh, well, I'll help you. So he rode up with me and we found a good spot for the bucket. And my daughter and his sons who were on staff all had what they needed. The last time I saw him was in Hawaii in 2017 with all of my family. And he was so happy to have you for a wife who let him go out to Hawaii and take care of his mother. He was so proud of his sons. And you can always be proud of the legacy he left you. But I am proud to have been his friend and to have walked in the Ocean Park Parade one year behind the horses. Do you remember? He came up and he said to me, would you help me? And he gave me a wheelbarrow, and he had a shovel to pick up anything the horses left behind in the parade. Always the helper.
Anyone else have a reflection they'd like to share?
My name is Roberta Tower. I am Cindy's sister-in-law as of 6 years ago. I'm a newbie in the family. I feel very fortunate to be part of the family. My greatest joy was when I first met Cindy and Chuck out to lunch. She said, thank you for making my brother happy. But the best thing was November, for Thanksgiving. It was our last gathering together, all together. I feared that would happen, so I was happy that we did have it at our home. And he was very tired that day, and he fell asleep on my shoulder, and we have a picture of that. And before he fell asleep, he said to me, we're glad you're in the family. And to me, that was the best thing he could have ever said. Thank you for letting me come.
Thank you.
I'm going to try not to cry. So we moved to Malden in 1979, and thank goodness we moved next door to the Huddies. And the first memory I have of Chuck is you brought us to the beach. I don't know what beach we were on. He brought a hibachi and steak teriyaki, and he cooked it on the beach. And I was like, wow, what kind of man cooks like this on the beach? And I remember him at bean suppers, always in the background, doing the work. I look forward to those bean suppers every year. I can't believe they stopped. I'd go to the bean supper and laugh and laugh and laugh watching the show. But Chuck was always there in the background doing all the work, welcoming us in there. And then on New Year's Day, every year, go to the Huddy's house, and they made shrimp, tempura, steak teriyaki. He was such a good cook. He was always there to support Cindy, always there in the background, like letting her be the show, and just there for her and her kids, Chuck's kids. They grew up with my kids. They were the same age when we moved in next door. So it was Brian and Matt, Michael and Douglas, a real good pair. We were so thankful that we moved in next door to the Huddies and still are very, very good friends. Thank you.
Thank you.
That'd be nice, Cindy. Just a couple of things to add. First of all, most of you don't know Chuck's father was a lay preacher. They didn't have permanent ministers in Hawaii. They would have somebody come around once a month and do communion with her. And his father filled in. So that was partly where he got his church background from. The other thing is, when we first moved here, I started coming to church. That was the thing I did. Michael was young, and I brought him. He was 3, I think. One day I said to him, "Come on, it's time to go to church." He said, "No, I'm going to stay home with Dad." God bless Dad. Dad started coming to church.
Chuck led by example and recognized he couldn't stay home and watch golf or do something else at home on that Sunday morning, which may have been his only free time, but that his responsibility was to come with Michael and Cindy and eventually Douglas. Anyone else? Okay. If not, then some beautiful memories that have been shared today, others that I know we have inside our hearts. And I'd like us to reflect on the scriptures that were read and the memories that have been shared already as we listen to the organ now and a medley of favorite hymns.
Thank you.
was born on Tuesday, November 17th, 1942. I know I was going to mess this up. Kalea? Close. Kalea Kauai, Hawaii, to Abraham and Dorothy Huddy. In the children's poem, Monday's Child, a person is described by the day of the week on which he or she was born. I believe that this poem is a true reflection of Chuck's life, for it says, Tuesday's child is full of grace. Authors have described children born on Tuesdays as being fun to be around and having many talents. They also have a quiet elegance, and they dance through life. And that describes, I believe, partly the Chuck Huddy that each of us knew and loved. Chuck was a proud native of Hawaii, but he made Malden his home for over 50 years. After graduation from high school in Hawaii, Chuck enlisted in the U.S. Army, where he trained as a machinist and served in Germany. After being honorably discharged, he moved to California, where he met and married Cindy. And the couple settled in Massachusetts, where they raised their two sons, and Chuck earned a degree in accounting from Bentley University. He used his training from the Army to work as a machinist until his retirement in 2004. Most of my reflections today are going to be based on how I knew Chuck was through the church. For Chuck joined our church in 1978, which, yes, was before I was here. He served in many capacities on various boards and committees and used his education in finance while serving as trustee, assistant treasurer, and treasurer for many years. One of his duties as treasurer was to inform members of the church staff if there would be raises each year. Some of the years were pretty lean, and there were not going to be raises. So Chuck would try to soften the blow by reciting these words of Jesus: Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I can still see him in the church office. I can hear him saying these words. And then he would tell the staff members, even though they would not receive an increase in their paycheck that year, they should remember the other words of Jesus when he said, "You will have a great reward in heaven." Chuck had a unique understanding of the Bible at times. During our weekly Bible study, he would often try to convince the other members of the group that his version of the text we were studying was correct. We fondly and lovingly call that the Bible according to Chuck. Chuck was an active person, preferring to be doing something rather than just talking about it. I recall years ago his enjoyment of the game of golf, whether playing on a course or watching a tournament on TV, which often took place on Sunday mornings and he wasn't in church. A church member posted the following reflection online last year about Chuck. I remember standing in Judson Chapel, hearing sounds and wondering what youth was running down the stairs, then smiling to find out it was Chuck. He was always enthusiastic and filled with spirit. When two members of the Bible study group began a walking program, Chuck joined them for the support, camaraderie, and exercise. They would travel several miles on each of their treks. And even though he held several public positions in the church, Chuck's preference was to be in the background. He didn't need nor necessarily want any recognition. It was doing the little things that often go unnoticed where Chuck delighted serving. Chuck was always willing to lend a hand for any project or work day, always caring for the buildings and grounds in his spare time. Each month, he volunteered to prepare and serve a meal through Bread of Life. He also participated in the Men and Boys Breakfast Group. For his dedication and faithful service, he was named Layperson of the Year by the congregation in 2002. In preparing for today's service, I looked up my comments from 2002 about Chuck's recognition. And that was the first year that the congregation did the recognition on its own. Previously, it had been part of the Malden Council of Churches celebration of honorees from each congregation in the city. That year, in 2002, our church council received the most nominations for one person it had received to date. After hearing all of the nominations, one council member commented, "The people have spoken." It was not a difficult process to select that year's Layperson of the Year, for overwhelmingly, if not unanimously, it was for Chuck. At that time, Chuck, as chair of the trustee board and property committee, accepted much of the responsibilities for keeping our buildings and grounds safe, secure, clean, and comfortable. Part of this meant personally dealing with all the idiosyncrasies and special temperaments of our properties. Chuck was on call for finicky furnaces and bothersome boilers, leaks from above and below, as well as pest control and cleaning issues, to name just a few things. Many an evening and early morning, before and after he had worked all night at his regular job, Chuck was here volunteering his time and energy. And he always did this with a smile. Several times, members of the church staff had to call him during the day, his sleep time, to report a problem or seek his advice. Never once did he complain or tell us not to interrupt his bedtime. One person who nominated Chuck wrote, "Many days Chuck is at the church at 6 a.m. and also came whenever there was an emergency." Another added, "He cares about the future of First Baptist Malden and is careful about its resources and assets." It was an honor to recognize Chuck for all his humble, dedicated, and faithful service. In their online tributes when Chuck died last year, many church members mentioned Chuck's smile and firm handshake, his friendliness and willingness to help in any capacity. Some other things about Chuck. He was a little unconventional. I recall one time cleaning out the church freezer of accumulated partially full containers of ice cream left over from previous parties and Bible studies. Most of it did not appear very appealing as I opened each lid and said, "Ugh." As I prepared to throw these containers out, Chuck entered the kitchen and looked at what I was doing. I explained that the ice cream was now gummy. And Chuck replied almost sheepishly that he liked gummy ice cream. So I proceeded to give him the containers for his enjoyment. Chuck enjoyed travel between Hawaii and the mainland during his army days, visiting son Michael wherever he was studying or working, and son Douglas and daughter-in-law Rachel in South Dakota. When he and Cindy planned a trip, I believe it was to Europe, Chuck did not want to be encumbered with luggage, so they both traveled with just one backpack each. Perhaps one of Chuck's favorite places to visit was Ocean Park, Maine, and the beach. And I had forgotten, Michael, when I was hearing reflections of all the work days that I know that your family went and worked at Oceanwood. Chuck never said a bad word about anyone that I know of, and was readily willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Chuck was generous with all of his time, talents, and treasure. On occasion, I know he opened his own wallet to privately help someone in need. Whatever he had, he was willing to share. Chuck was also gracious and thoughtful. I recall sitting in meetings when preparing budgets and negotiating leases. And Chuck was always the calm, steady voice. He cared about the clients of the organizations that rented space from the church, whether it was Bright Star, TriCap, ABCD, Triangle, or other organizations. He reminded us from the church that our financial work for the church not only affected the congregation, but the human lives that would be improved by the organizations renting space from us. He helped to put a human face on our business dealings. I will forever be thankful for the education Chuck gave me about investments and how some of the church accounts are calculated. Family was extremely important to Chuck. As his mother aged into her 90s, Chuck and Cindy rotated with Chuck's siblings, Ann and Wendell, in providing round-the-clock in-home care in Hawaii. Chuck always enjoyed knowing what Michael and Douglas were doing, and as they were growing up, he would often invite their friends to join in family activities. Chuck and Cindy were married for 51 years, and thankfully, many of us were able to celebrate their 50th anniversary with them in 2019. All those pre-pandemic times seem so long ago. All the things that's been mentioned today make Chuck sound like a perfect person, which he was not. We all have our faults. And as in any marriage, there are times when partners disagree, but Chuck's love for Cindy never wavered. Even in the late stages of dementia, as a patient at a rehab facility that was locked down due to the coronavirus, Chuck's final words were, "Tell Cindy I love her." I truly believe Charles Huddy lived out the Christian faith in word and deed and led by example. Citing from the scriptures I read earlier, Chuck was sincere in his love for others. He honored others more than he did himself. Chuck never gave up and willingly served the Lord. He took care of God's needy people by providing food and drink, visiting them, and helping them however he could. Chuck was friendly with everyone, made friends with ordinary people, and did his best to live at peace with everyone. A person who nominated Chuck to be Layperson of the Year so many years ago wrote, "He is a wonderful example of what a Christian man is, loyal and devoted to his church and to his God." I believe he also lived out the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Philippi, when I read those words now. "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of as Christ Jesus." It's been over a year since we have been able to gather and celebrate Chuck's life. A long time of waiting, a long time of just sort of being in limbo before we could have some closure. I imagine that Chuck is now in the presence of God, still hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Live in the joy of your master." Even though we are saddened by our separation from Chuck, may we rejoice that he is at home now with our loving, powerful, eternal God. It has been said that life is like a relay race where the baton of values, character, and faith are passed from one generation to another. The runner ahead passes the baton on runs by our side for a while, and then we pass the baton on to those who follow us one by one. Charles Huddy passed his baton of values, character, and faith to each of us who knew him. It is now our responsibility to carry the baton as we keep Chuck alive in our memory. For someday we too shall embark on our final journey to go and be with God, and will most assuredly be greeted by Chuck with a firm handshake and a warm smile. Until that day, we must live with the memories of the many ways that Chuck touched our lives, and thank God for the wonderful gift of his life and his abiding love. Please join with me in prayer. God of grace and love, we do thank you for the gift of Charles Huddy's life and the 77 years he had to share his love with us. We still feel loss, O God, because Chuck is not with us, but we are strengthened and encouraged by knowing that though he is absent from us, he is present with you. We pray that you would also be present to us, O God. Even though it's been 14 months since Chuck's passing, we still miss him. Bring to us that peace which is beyond our reach to create for ourselves. Bring hope that is the gift of your own son's life. Bring light for the dark moments of sorrow that still attempt to overwhelm us. And bring us assurance that Chuck is at peace with you. We cannot imagine what eternal life beyond death is like exactly, but we do trust in you, Lord Jesus. May our spirits grow calm and our hearts be comforted as we receive the assurance that Chuck is safe forever. Lead us all as we continue this life to prepare as if we would live forever, but to live each day as if it were our last. Into your love and care we commit these friends and family members. Grant us all the peace that passes understanding and the assurance that gives us strength to carry on. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. So at this time, we have special music. Linda Glover will be playing a Hawaiian song in honor and tribute to Chuck. Yes, we basically say goodbye.
Amen.
benediction, I invite you to remain seated for the postlude, and after the postlude, you will be dismissed by row and may greet the family in the rear of the sanctuary. So may the God of life and hope be with us. May God's loving spirit go forth with us. And may that spirit guide and sustain us now and always. Amen.